What an awesome promise, God, that we stand before you, not under our power and our strength, but God, in you that we stand. And we stand secure, Father, all because of what you've done. God, today we ask again that you move in our hearts and that your word would be stirred at the depths of our hearts, that we can't stay where we're at, God. Give us your wisdom as we look at your word. Open it up that we might see you. In Jesus' name we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I am trusting that you have your Bibles, so I'm going to ask you to open them to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And our text will begin at verse 46. As you're opening your Bibles, we are still in a series of the story. We're in chapter 25. And the title of it is Jesus, Son of God. That's the title of our chapter 25. It's amazing. I've heard a lot of good about it, and I've been encouraged by it, and I have enjoyed it myself, being able to preach through it. There is so much in these. When you read the chapter, there's so much to cover. And I know in Sunday school, the teachers are saying, Vern, there's so much here. How do we get it all covered? And you just can't. So I trust that you're reading. I trust that you're spending time not only reading the book, the story, but opening your Bible and reading. As I went through the lesson the past number of weeks, I try to read ahead and I try to read in advance of it. If there's a word that would describe this morning, a word or two that would describe this morning, it would be this understanding of being prepared, of pondering. And it's kind of interesting. I asked Alan this morning to read Proverbs 4, where we find that Jesus was pondering, or he tells us to ponder the path that we take. He has this vision. He has this look of looking straight ahead and not allowing something to derail us, but to look forward and to keep moving one step at a time and be intentional in how we walk. So ponder the path that you're walking. Don't walk haphazardly. And I find that as we read through Scripture and we allow it to come in and permeate us, that's what happens. But as I was reading through the book of Mark, I began as well to see that Jesus was doing the very same thing. If you read from cover to cover in Mark, you see that Jesus has this long vision. He's looking towards Jerusalem, going back to Jerusalem. He's looking towards Gethsemane. He's looking towards the cross and towards the resurrection. And he walks with intent that way. And in fact, as I was, again, preparing, but I began to read just the chapters prior, chapter 8 of Mark, verse 31, he tells his disciples that we're going to go to Jerusalem and be betrayed by man, and I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to be raised again in 3 days. And just a chapter later, chapter 9, verse 31, Jesus says the exact same thing to his disciples. And then in chapter 10, verse 32, just before our text here, Jesus was on his way up to Jerusalem, and it says, with Jesus leading the way. There's this intent, there's this intentional walking that Jesus is doing towards Jerusalem, and that's a challenge to us. That's a challenge I want to lay at our feet as well this morning, not only the path that we're walking, but Jesus was not so intent on just focusing on that direction that he didn't have time or didn't see those that were around him. And I think that's what sort of drew me in this week, is that Jesus was intent on getting to Jerusalem, but he still had time for people. And that, I think, is part of what really grabbed me as I read the story or the healing of blind Bartimaeus. So I want to read that as we open this morning. Verse 46 of chapter 10 of Mark says this. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with the large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, this is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside and begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49, Jesus stopped. And he said, call him. I like that verse. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, young man. Well, I threw that in there. Cheer up. On your feet, he's calling you. And Bartimaeus sits disgruntled along the road. No! He throws off his cloak. Look at that. He throws it off. He jumps up. And he goes to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I'm a pigtail onto what Alan said. I will guarantee you that Bartimaeus depended on that miracle. Depended on that miracle. I like that quote, Alan. That will resonate with me for a while. Here's the thought. As we read through this text and we read through the story, we've got a blind guy sitting along the road. And Jesus comes along, and in the end, Jesus heals him. And if we're not careful, we look at that story and we walk away saying, hey, Bartimaeus is the only blind guy there. I want to challenge you with that because I don't see that. I think there were more blind people there. What do you mean, Vern? There was a line of blind people? No, that's not what I'm saying. I believe that there were more than just Bartimaeus who was blind. And let me give you a little bit of an insight. Again, if you would go back through and you'd read the different chapters prior to this, you're going to find that Jesus has just fed the 4,000 in chapter 8. He gets to the end of that. They get in the boat. They cross to the other side of Galilee. And Jesus says something to his disciples about the yeast of the Pharisees, that he need to be, watch out for that yeast of the Pharisees and that of Hebron. And they start sort of this glazy-eyed at Jesus. They're not comprehending it all. And Jesus looks at them and in verse 17 and says, "Do you still not see and understand?" Verse 18, "Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear?" And then what is so interesting for me, and I think it's Jesus all over, the very next thing we find Jesus doing is what? Healing a blind guy. Now, was that coincidence? No. Jesus was showing to his disciples that they were blind. He just said, "Can't you see? You have eyes that are still failing you and ears that you can't hear." Jesus was showing them, look, guys, there's more to this. You're missing it. Oh, there's a few bright spots. The very next thing we find is that Jesus asks his disciples, "Hey, who do you say that I am?" And why is Peter raises his hand and says, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." A really, great point, a really great moment. They got it. And then just one verse later, Jesus tells them, "Hey, look, we're heading to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed by man. I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to be raised again." And Peter sort of takes Jesus off the side and says, "Not on my watch it's going to happen. Not on my watch." And Jesus looks at him and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Because you don't have the things of God in mind. You have the things of men in mind. And then Jesus goes on down and he starts to describe a kingdom that these people, these disciples were not getting. He says there in verse 34 of chapter 8, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." A completely different picture for the disciples. But for me, as I read through this, the icing on the cake came just before our text, where if we read it in chronological order, and if it was written in chronological order, which we don't know, but we would assume that Jesus is walking along and James and John come up to Jesus and they say to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, we want you to do whatever we ask." Whatever we ask, right? And Jesus looks at him and says, "So what do you want me to do for you?" And James and John say, "I want to sit on the right side and on the left side of your kingdom." Can you imagine that? After Jesus is just going through all of this, and then Jesus once again tells him, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant." And then what does he do? Jesus encounters blind Bartimaeus. Again, is that a coincidence? No, it isn't. I believe that Jesus is saying, "Look, I understand you're blind, but there's a few things you need to understand, that I'm the one that gives you that revelation. I'm the one that gives you the ability to see So you need to come to me and ask, not to sit on my right and left hand, but you need to come and receive and allow your eyes to be opened. And I find it just to be so interesting. Do you see why I say that there was one more than just one man that was blind there? In fact, my question is, if we read this and we put ourselves in that place, are we blind? Well, let's look at Bartimaeus. I don't know how old Bartimaeus was. I understand, or at least I would think I would understand, that he was blind from birth. That's what I'm understanding. But we don't know for sure. Here's the interesting thing. Bartimaeus was sitting alongside the road. Probably a common thing. Probably a common sight there in Jericho. The second thing is he's sitting by the road where he has a lot of the traveling, a lot of the traffic that comes back and forth throughout Jericho. Why? Because he has a better advantage of being able to be given enough food or enough coins to make it through his day, make it through the week maybe. So it's a very common thing that Bartimaeus, that you see blind beggars sitting along the road. So that wasn't significant. What I find that is really interesting, and I know we know this, but for me it was a highlight again, that I needed to tell myself that, look, even though Bartimaeus was blind, he had a sense. He knew what was going on. His hearing was so acute. And so I can imagine that day that Bartimaeus saw or heard, didn't see, but heard the crowd sort of increase. He heard more footprints. He heard more people gathering. He heard more voices. And so right away, Bartimaeus is beginning to wonder, so what's up? What's going on? And because the only way that he can learn is by listening, I can imagine that Bartimaeus sort of leans in just a bit to hear what's going on. And you begin to hear the word Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And they begin to talk about Jesus. And they begin to share maybe a little bit about what they believed about Jesus. And I can imagine, and this is just because of what he says, but I can imagine that Bartimaeus has probably heard this name Jesus talked about in Jericho before. And all the stories that went along with it. And so I can imagine that Bartimaeus is getting a little bit excited because he understands that Jesus has come and Jesus is this man who can heal. And so I can imagine that that Bartimaeus continued to sort of lean in a little bit. And then when the crowd got bigger and bigger, you began to see Bartimaeus crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I would only imagine that Bartimaeus probably used to just say, Jesus, have mercy on me. But this day, and I don't know if he was putting everything together or not, but this day he uses the phrase, Son of David. Why is that important? Because the Son of David, when he recognized that or when he says that, that recognizes the fact that Bartimaeus believes that this man, this Messiah, is going to come and to sit on David's throne in a kingdom that is never ending. And he got excited about that. He understood that the Messiah was on his way and that Jesus was out there in the crowd somewhere. I don't know how he did it other than the fact that he probably understood or heard other people talking and gained that information for himself. And so you see Bartimaeus crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He understood that Jesus was one that could restore his sight. Restore his sight. I don't know that we understand really what that might think or what we might feel like having our sight restored if we have never been blind. But for Bartimaeus, this was huge, that Jesus could heal me, that Jesus could make me see. So it's no wonder that Bartimaeus got excited. It's no wonder he began to shout. It didn't say that he said and called. It said he shouted. And I believe that to be absolutely true. He got excited about it. Think about it. If we were to close our eyes and put ourselves in Bartimaeus' shoes, Bartimaeus' world was dark. There was no light in it. There was no dimension in it. In fact, Bartimaeus' life was all about what he heard. And he was listening to the people, to the voices, to the birds, however you want to put it. But this day, he cries out to Jesus because he knows Jesus is out there in that darkness somewhere, some place that he can't see. So he cries out to the crowd, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. And this idea of having mercy is Bartimaeus understood that he was not deserving of it. That he probably had nothing to add to society. In fact, he took so much away from society and relied upon others for his own needs. But today it could be different. I did a little research. Jesus entered Jericho only twice in his ministry. That's recorded. Zacchaeus is one, and here's the second time. Did Bartimaeus think, this is my only chance? I haven't seen Jesus face to face. I haven't met him face to face. He's not been to Jericho before that I remember, but I hear them talking about it. And so I'm not going to give up. The crowd is trying to hush him and tell him to shut up and not to bother Jesus. And he just shouts all the more. He gets excited. This was his day. He was not going to lose it. He was not going to miss his day. And so he cries out all the louder. In verse 49, it works. Jesus stops and said, call him. I thought about that for a while. Here's a blind man who hears the shuffle of the crowd, and all of a sudden the crowd gets quiet. Here's Bartimaeus. All his life, all he has been is just another blind man that people would throw coins at, that people would ignore, that someone that often got in the way. But today, Jesus stopped. He couldn't see him. But he was face to face with the Messiah. I know I'm probably adding a lot to this, but I can only imagine that after hearing all the discussion about Jesus, he probably heard the day that Jesus stood up in the temple in the synagogue, and he took the scroll of Isaiah and read that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And notice what Bartimaeus does. He throws off that cloak. He gets up, jumps up, doesn't just stand up. I don't know how a blind man jumps up. I don't know. But he jumped up and he went to Jesus. And Jesus looks at him. He can't see him, but Jesus looks at him and he says to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? It's almost as if Jesus had handed him a blank check and said, fill in the blanks, Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? And I can imagine going through Bartimaeus's mind. He's thinking, I have begged for all my life. I am so tired of being an oppression. I'm so tired of being such a burden to people. I'm so tired of begging. And Bartimaeus asks for the very thing, the very core of what was at the center of his problem. And he simply says, I want to see. I want to see Jesus. I want to see. To which Jesus simply replies, go, your faith has healed you. And Mark actually ends his text by saying, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I know I can hear you say, well, Vern, that's a really good story. It's a really great picture. I love the fact that Jesus had time for Bartimaeus. I love the fact that Jesus healed Bartimaeus and he's able to see. So what do we take from this? There's a couple things that I thought about. One of the things is that Bartimaeus began by sitting and begging. And then it went to hearing and shouting. After that, it went to throwing off and jumping and coming to Jesus. And I began to ask myself, so what was it? What was it that began this whole journey for Bartimaeus? What was it? What was at the core of him coming to Jesus? Was it his begging? Was it his sitting there in the right spot at the right time? I believe that for Bartimaeus, in order for him to actually see, it had to come through his hearing. May sound weird or sound off to you, but Bartimaeus' only hope was in Jesus. But the only way that Bartimaeus was going to see is he first had to hear. I ran across a quote that I really love. You will never know Jesus as a reality in your life until Jesus, until you know him as a necessity in your life. You will never know Jesus as a reality until we know him as a necessity. And as I looked at Bartimaeus, this was a necessity for Bartimaeus. The only way that he was going to see was for him to be touched by Jesus. That's the only way that he was going to see. And it became what he drove, was driven to after. It was what his focus was on. He pondered, if I dare say, he pondered the path that he was on. He says, this is the place that I've got to go. The only place that I'm going to find healing is in Jesus Christ. And he pondered that. He went that direction. He was focused, but he found Jesus to be a necessity. The second thing that I've walked away with is that we will never cry out to see until we are aware that we are blind. Kind of let that soak in. Going back to Bartimaeus and trying to gain some things from Bartimaeus, I had to try to put myself in his eye, in his place. Bartimaeus' life was changed completely. And besides this feeling of independence and value and worth, but think about it, one moment his world was black and void of any dimension. And the next moment his eyes were opened. But think about this. He was opened up to a strange world. A strange world. I really believe it was a foreign world to him. He had never seen this world, even though he walked in it. I kind of let that just go through my mind. He'd never seen this world, even though he lived his entire life up to this point in it. I thought about, man, how did he know where he was at? How did he know when he got home? How was he going to, he never seen his house. How did he know that that was home? He saw people. They could have been his brother. He wouldn't have known unless they would have spoken to him. All those things change, but it's almost a different dimension that Bartimaeus was living in. And that began to make me think. Because doesn't that sound like the kingdom that Jesus described to his disciples? His disciple says, Jesus, give me what we're going to ask you for. I want to sit on your right, and John wants to sit on your left in your glory. And Jesus says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Those two worlds that Bartimaeus experienced, one of darkness and one of light, but they were so different from each other. So different. First was familiar to him. The blindness was familiar to him. The second was new. So what changed? I had to think about this. Marilyn and I were out picking up sticks, and it just kind of hit me yesterday. You know, when Bartimaeus was blind, he saw people as what he could get from them. He's blind. He's begging. It's what I can get from them, right? Throw me a coin. Throw me something to help me along here. It was all about him. Doesn't it sound like James and John as they're saying, I want to sit on the right hand of your kingdom. I want to sit in your left. Doesn't it sound like that? The second one, Bartimaeus saw people as what I have to offer them, not what I can get from them. It's all about Jesus and his work. Kind of sounds like an upside down kingdom, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like a different perspective, if I can use that term. When Jesus opens our eyes and when we see as Jesus do, we do see this world differently. We see people differently. We see our role differently. We see our mission differently. But for Bartimaeus, it began with his hearing in order for him to see. I said I didn't want to keep doing this, but God keeps challenging me. And I got to keep sharing stories that I don't like to share about myself. Last week I confessed, and someone said, that was great, Vern. Just don't make a habit of it. Well, here we go again. After going through Bartimaeus and after asking God to give me new eyes, realizing that there's areas of my life that I'm blind, and after putting these new eyes on, Marilyn and I, we needed to go run a few errands out of town, and so we stopped by Gallup's to get gas. I pull up, and I'm getting my gas, and just directly on the other side of the pump, another gal drives into her car, and she comes up to get gas. And I noticed immediately that she didn't pull up to the gas pumps correctly because her gas cap was on the wrong side. There was no gas cap on this side. I didn't say anything, and before you know it, she had gotten out, and she had moved to the other side of the gas pump so she could talk with me. But as she got out, there was this rank odor of marijuana. And so she pokes her head around the corner and she says, excuse me, sir. He says, I got some drill bits that I'd like to sell. But I'd like to sell them in exchange for some gas. Says, I'm a mom. I need to get to school. I need to go pick up my kids. And so, I don't know. Would you mind paying me in gas for these drill bits? And of course, in my new eyesight that I saw, I jumped at the chance and said, absolutely. In fact, I'll probably pay you double for your drill bits. No, it's not what happened. I politely told her I was not interested. All because I smelled marijuana and assumed that if you can buy marijuana, then you can buy gas to get back and forth to pick your kids up at school. I got in the Suburban, and I immediately told Marilyn that so disappointed in myself. I like what you said, Nate. Need to talk to people pre-Jesus. I couldn't see her because of my blindness. Marijuana smell blurred my vision. That's an excuse, by the way. Do you know what Jesus responded or how he responded to the disciples when they began to push Bartimaeus away? Don't rebuke him. Call him. That's why I stopped. Call him. Don't rebuke him. Why? Because Jesus knew that Bartimaeus was ready to receive a touch from him. And Thursday, Jesus knew that that woman smoking marijuana was ready to receive a touch from him. And I said, be quiet. You're not worthy. Because you're smoking marijuana. I want to see. I want to see. Because when our sight is restored, we'll no longer view people as someone that will take from me. Somebody that will drain me. But we'll see them as someone that Jesus wants to touch. See him as how we can build into their lives and how we can develop a relationship. But guys, it takes a healing of our eyes. It begins. Told Marilyn, I said, it's terrible, but you know, after spending a week studying this and getting all excited about how Jesus healed Bartimaeus and how foolish those disciples were. I can't even buy, well, I didn't even want to have to buy the bits. I could have just put gas in a car. Do you want to see? Do you want to see? Then we got to cry out. But I think we have to listen first. My listening wasn't so good on Thursday. I got to listen better in order for me to see better. I thought this would be a pretty good closing song for us this morning. I'm just going to have us stand as we sing together and think about answering the question, what do you want me to do for you? That's prayer this morning. God, the more we see you, we long for you, God. Thank you so much, God, for Bartimaeus. Thank you, God, that he cried to you. Thank you for the example that he is to us. I just ask, God, that as the disciples continued through their journey, yes, they became solid and they truly knew who you were. And God, we're on that journey. My prayer is that, that we want to see. We want to see that woman at the gas station. We want to see the guy we rub shoulders with. We want to see, God. We want to see it through your eyes and not through ours. And so God, today, we just humble ourselves. We ask that you give us mercy. That you give us sight. Make our hearing acute, Father, to you. I love that verse. Let me sit at your feet, God. Because that's when I get overwhelmed. God, move in a mighty way today. Wherever you want to take us. Bless us today, Father. Empower us by your Spirit. May we be your hands and feet this week as we mingle. And may we see through the eyes of you. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Go in peace.